Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. The play Yerma is the story of a woman whose heart's desire is to have a child, an obsession that completely consumes her. It's originally by Spanish poet and dramatist Federico García Lorca, first staged in 1934. But a new version, which was translated and adapted by award-winning Boston playwright Melinda Lopez, is now being staged by the Huntington Theater Company.
I've been married longer, with more experience than you.
Of all the girls that got married that summer, you're the last one.
Well, some girls take longer, that's normal. It took Elena 3 years. And other girls from back in the day, from my mother's time, much, much longer.
But you're not like those girls.
No, still. 2 years and 20 days, like me, it's been a long time to wait.
That's the titular character, Yerma, whose longing for a child extends well beyond 2 years and 20 days. Here to talk about Yerma and why she wanted to bring Lorca's work to Boston today is Melinda Lopez. She's the inaugural playwright in residence at the Huntington Theater Company. Melinda, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I understand that you've been a fan of Federico García Lorca for a long time, but I think of him, frankly, more of as a poet than a playwright. This isn't even one of his best-known works. So what drew you to him and to this work in particular?
Yeah, he's very well-known as a poet. Certainly in Spain, his plays are much more well-known. He has three great tragedies. Americans might know House of Bernarda Alba. I was first introduced to Lorca through that play. Actually, it was a production, a flamenco dance version that I saw in Spain, and I thought, I have to learn more about this guy. Yerma is one of his three great tragedies, but it is less known in this country, and I'm hoping to remedy that with a very modern, sort of rigorous, thrilling adaptation of this play. I really want to wake up American audiences to his genius.
Well, part of that genius is he's sort of known as this master of the Spanish concept of duende, right? The sort of great passion or authenticity of emotion.
I mean,
how does that come through in his original work, both and your adaptation of it for an American audience?
Right. So duende is this great term that sort of encompasses that thrilling moment when you're in the presence of a great performer and they're just channeling from the earthbound to the divine. Like, you see it in great musicians, you see it in great actors. And Lorca was really interested in bringing that passion and rigor into his drama. So his plays are very steeped in questions about honor. There's themes of, you know, the importance of your blood and the earth that you live on, your ties to a community, and what you do to defend what's right in the world and how you see yourself in the world. So his characters are very epic. I think he has more in common with the great Greek tragedies than he does with more contemporary writers. Like, I would compare him more to a Greek tragedian than to Arthur Miller. Events happen quickly. Language is heightened and full, and a lot happens. And, at Yerma, we have at the center of this great play this tremendous female protagonist who understands that her mission in life, her reason for being, is to honor her marriage and have a family. So an American audience might see that as a very kind of traditional throwback sort of role, but for Yerma, that is her full reason for being. And she comes into conflict with her own fate, really. She's denied access to fulfilling that role, and she fights like a great heroine to get what she wants.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Yerma herself. One of the things I love about this play is the way that you weave the storytelling with the music, this flamenco-inspired music. I had a great seat, by the way, when I was at the show the other night, being near the pit so I could really see the percussionists doing their work. So let's take a listen to a little bit of sound from this production.
How will I know what you need, poor child? A red heart that beats in your breast. How can I keep you forever, child?
So tell us a little bit more about this character, Yerma. What motivates her, and what draws her to you?
So that's also the wonderful Nadine Malouf, who's playing Yerma. Nadine was just named by Lincoln Center as a rising talent to watch. She's an extraordinary performer. But Yerma is a passionate, driven, and very honorable woman who, as I said, you know, has this great longing for family. In her case, it turns into an obsession. And over the course of the play, we see how that obsession wears on her relationship with her husband, how it wears on a marriage, and how it changes her community. I always think it's interesting, too, how we see female heroes and male heroes slightly differently, and how strength of will in a woman isn't always celebrated. Sometimes we see it as like, you know, hard-headedness. But she brings to life this incredibly noble, witty, intelligent, facile character.
It's sort of a familiar theme in literature, right? This yearning for a child. I mean, we see it show up in the Bible a lot, for example, and there's certainly a religious overtone to your production as well. I wonder how you bring kind of a different eye to this sort of classical theme. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, this Lorca production has been translated and interpreted by other playwrights as well, but always by men, right?
Yes. So there are many translations available of all of Lorca's work, of course, but the best known translations of this play have been interpreted by men, often the productions that we know of, directed by men. I have had this great opportunity to work closely with Amelia Bensusan, who's an incredibly gifted theater director. She's actually just been named as the artistic director of Hartford Stage. So now you have two women who are coming to look at this material and, you know, maybe bring a fresh perspective to it. What I've tried to do as a dramatist is both honor Lorca's original intention with the play. So it's theatrically very exciting. I've kept the music, but I've also wanted to bring a contemporary dramatist's sense of character to it. So I've really deepened the characters of the community of women. I've deepened the relationship between Yerma and her husband, because I think American audiences are really drawn to understanding the psychology of what makes people make the choices they do. Lorca doesn't tend to look so closely at that. He's more action, action, action. The other thing that's fun about working on an adaptation is, a translation which is literal word for word. If you're not translating culturally, sometimes you read the translations and you just know that the words would not work in an American actor's mouth. So I'm working with actors in the room, seeing what motivates them, what's easy for them to say, what's thrilling for them to play. And I'm trying to infuse, you know, my experience and my theatrical intelligence with Lorca's depth of understanding of duende, of passion, of ritual and sensuality of this world.
Do you tweak the script then at all as you see the production
constantly
unfolding? You do then. So you see like, oh, this is how this is delivered and this works and this doesn't, and you can kind of make it a living, breathing document.
Absolutely. And, you know, the actors are really integral in that process as well. And we have this great company. We have Nadine, who I mentioned, and Christian Barillas, who's playing Juan, her husband, and your listeners might recognize him from his recurring role in Modern Family, where he's playing a very different kind of character.
Sure.
But yeah, it's great.
Well, let me ask you a little bit more about the Juan character, because he certainly stands out to me, and maybe just because I'm a husband, so I'm paying attention to him. But
yes.
But you talked earlier about deepening certain characters and him being one of them. And that really stands out to me, because he's not just this one-dimensional villain.
Right.
I mean, in a lot of ways, he behaves like a jerk. He's very controlling. He's not very sensitive. But you can also see that he's really in pain, too, especially early in their marriage when they're struggling to have a child.
Right.
And you see that it's difficult for him as well. Why did you want to make him a complex character?
Well, because I like him so much. You know, he's struggling to build a business. He's got a vineyard. You know, he's very good with money. He's giving Yerma everything she wants, except the one thing that she wants the most. It's not a situation where either character is at fault. So I really wanted to bring also the desire for family that men experience, the challenges that men go through when they're struggling with infertility, whether it's their own infertility or their partner's infertility, or if they're a same-sex couple and they're saying, we want a family, how are we going to do this? But the desire for children is not gendered. And, you know, in fact, Lorca himself, who was a gay man in 1930s in Spain, and he longed for family, but he lived in a time and place where that was never going to be an option for him. So he created this female character as a vessel for him to invest all of his longing in what I think is just such a basic human need to know that something is going to outlive us. Right? For some of us, it means we write books or we build business empires or we fund scholarships or, you know, but for many of us, it's children. And so I feel like we also see a marriage start to disintegrate where you get to a point where you say, I'm not enough for you and I'm not going to walk out of this marriage. So I'm resigned to managing best I can. And I feel like that's where they end up. You know, three quarters of the way through the play, where he just says, you know, he offers her other alternatives.
Right. He says we could adopt one of my brother's children or whatnot. Yeah. And this is part of, by the way, what I think is so conflicting for audience members. Yes. Watching Yerma. You certainly sympathize with her desire to have a child, but you're also kind of frustrated with her at times too, and saying, you know, and of course I'm also speaking as someone with adopted siblings, and yes. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's okay, you know, adoption is great. They're part of your family, and she doesn't want to go down that road.
She has a fixed idea in her head about what she wants. She says, my blood, I want our blood. And it's in fact this obsessive quality about her, this rigidity in her that, you know, is her fatal flaw, right? All great tragedies, right, have a character at the center who is noble, but they have a flaw. Other people bend. What I like to tell my playwriting students is the character at the center of a drama has to go farther, fight harder, push more, be louder, be more than anyone in the audience ever would. And for Yerma, the question is, this is my dream, right? And so how are we meant to judge someone else's dream? You know, would you give up on your dream if it was everything to you? So you're right. It's a complicated relationship that we have with this character, and especially because she's a woman. Women are supposed to bend. Women are supposed to change.
And that's, I think, what part of makes her dream so complicated, I think, for audience members, because it's her dream, yes, but it also seems to be partly a function of societal expectations, right? Because, the women around her who are all mothers are gossiping behind her back and not really being supportive of her in her plight. And then I'm also thinking about the spinsters. These are sort of two nameless, faceless characters. These are Juan's sisters who he brings into sort of enforcers to keep her housebound as the town gossips about maybe she's stepping out.
Right, and because he's working so much and he's out so much.
But there seems to be a real commentary there, right, about how society perceives, childless, and in the case of the spinsters, husbandless women.
I do think there's a cultural thing that we feel we're allowed to judge women's choices or people's choices in how they create families, right? If you wait too long to have a child, we talk about you. If you have children too early, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, no, you have a career. You have one child. That's not enough. You have too many, right? We have all these narratives about policing family-building choices, right? And I always think, you know, what's the larger story? And I feel like there must be something inherent in our genetics that makes us as a people, as humanity, need to protect, right, the population. Like, we're going to keep having children. There's something primal that kicks in when we're talking about how other people are raising their kids. And it's almost beyond logic. It's beyond language. These are larger questions that theater is really good at not answering the question, but asking the question, right? So that's the other thing. I think that the play, hopefully people will leave talking about, why do you think this happened? Why do you think these choices got made? How does this relate to me? I know people like her. I don't know anyone like her. What does that say about us as a culture?
That's Melinda Lopez. She's an award-winning Boston playwright and the inaugural playwright in residence at the Huntington Theater Company. Thanks, Melinda.
Thank you.
Yerma will be on view at the Calderwood Pavilion at the BCA through June 30th. More information is at radioboston.org. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Callum Borchers. Have a great weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.